This is Michael Modest, and you are listening to Modest Joint, Part 2. There won't be Stevie Richards on Part 2. I apologize. Stevie was ill and wasn't able to do it. But I hope you listen to the entire segment, because I think it's going to be stronger than my first Modest Joint. Now, there won't be a whole bunch of funny stuff. It's like 5 in the morning here at the joint, and it's foot tapping cold. Those are actually my feet tapping. I mean, it's really cold out here in the joint. It's like 60 degrees. Ha! And I know people, other places in the country are thinking, you know, that ain't cold. But to me it is. So I'm over here shivering. On part two, I want to talk about some things. It's the day after Christmas now, and I want to talk about some things. I got some yammering to do. First, I want to talk about, I watched some Mickey Rourke interviews yesterday, and he refers to wrestling as a sport several times in these interviews. Man, thumbs up to Mickey Rourke for doing that. I've always thought of it as a sport, and I think it's incredible that he had so much respect after he had done this film. I really admired the things he said about our business. At one point, he says the business is choreographed. And, you know, he starts talking about how it's choreographed and this and that. And I thought to myself, have I lost touch with this business? Maybe I'm the last generation to be trained to just go out there and work. Just go out there and wrestle. You'd be lucky sometimes to call a couple of spots. The first time I ever wrestled for WWE, Rene Goulet walks up to me and he says, are you a babyface or a heel? I said, I can work both, either. So he sends me out there, and when I walked through those curtains, man, he was looking for Coco, couldn't find Coco. I walked through, he says, Coco will give you the finish when you get out there. I walked through the curtains. It's like jumping into ice-cold water, man. It's thrilling. It's invigorating. But it takes your breath away, and you wonder, am I going to be able to catch it? Well, I did. I caught my breath, went out to the ring. I got in there, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is what I want to do. Fell in love with it, man. It's awesome. Coco came out, called the finish to the ref. Ref passed it to me. Went through the match. I got through it. Yeah, I was green. I didn't look so hot, but I was real comfortable just getting in there and going. It was the way I was trained. And yeah, if you have a minute, call a couple of spots. But I started wondering, maybe everything is choreographed. Maybe no one's listening to Mike Modest. Maybe the business is just going in opposite direction. And then I listen to Judas Young's segment, and I'm going to talk about a couple of things he talks about in his segment. I really like Judas Young's program. I think it's very, very strong. If you listen to Modest Joint, make sure you tune into Judas Young. You'll really enjoy his segments. Someone out there is listening to me, bro. You know, he says on his segment that WWE is going to be producing a show that does use a lot of enhancement talent. And I thought, finally, somebody's either coming up with it on their own, or they listen to Modest Joint, or they listen to somebody else that's preaching this, man. Bring back the jobbers or enhancement talent. I prefer the term jobbers. But, you know, you use local talent in the state that you're doing your programming in. You know, if you're taping in California, use local California guys. You save on travel. You save on hotel. You save on pay in general. You don't have to pay them what you do your superstars. It builds local guys and helps to build indies up. And then once a guy is over in California, now you can work him in some of the surrounding states. And if he gets over there, now you can sign him to a contract, a national deal. And he works exclusively for WWE. You know, it's like having a developmental territory without having to pay for it. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying I don't believe in developmental territories. I do. I think if I was in charge, I'd have three. I'd have one on the East Coast, one in the mid-states, one on the West Coast. I'd have them sign no-compete contracts with my company, with WWE. Hell, you could even have them sign a contract that states that they'll stay within their state, and you subsidize them. Before long, they're paying for themselves. there's companies out there right now that do, like ROH. They already have their own sponsorship, and I saw one of their programs advertised on pay-per-view the other day. So they're doing well. And the cool thing about letting other territories kind of develop your talent for you and using those guys and working with them is that you end up with guys that don't always look the same. If you have everybody being trained WWE style, then you don't end up with a Rey Mysterio who was trained in Mexico. And Rey Mysterio brings his own flavor to the WWE. So I think it's really important to use jobbers. I think it's awesome that's going to be happening. So I was really glad I listened to Judas's segment because I learned a little something. You know, it's like what I was saying before, women are the same. If you have everybody being trained WWE style, you end up going, shit, I don't like that style. Vince probably looks and goes, what's wrong with that guy? He looks generic. You know, it's like a woman. You know, she spends her whole life trying to mold her husband into what she thinks she wants, only to discover that she liked him the way he was and doesn't like what she has made him out to be. Again, I want to apologize that Stevie Richards was not on the segment this week. You know, I am 0-2, and that sucks, man, trying to get guests on here, and I just keep failing. Oh, well. Next time, right? I did bait and switch you. But I'm saying a prayer for Stevie, and I urge you to do the same, because Stevie's a great guy, and he was quite ill, and it was scary for a minute. But bless you, brother, and I hope you're doing well and get better soon. Another thing on Judas Young's segment that he was talking about that I wanted to comment on is guys in his position and in my position where we've experienced some success, different amounts of success. We've had things that to ourselves were personal accomplishments and important to us in this business, things that we've achieved. I worked in Japan for 5 years, and that wasn't a fluke, man. For the number one company in Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah. And it was an amazing thing, and I accomplished it, bro, and I made it, and it made me feel so good. And I hear you, man, when you talk about these accomplishments, and then you go through these dry spells where you got no work, and you wonder, should I quit? Should I give this up? And I started thinking about that, and I thought, really, when you're not working, what are you really quitting? So then I started really thinking about what you were saying, man, and I thought, what he's really talking about is putting something else first. What he's really talking about is putting a job first before pro wrestling, not jumping at every indie booking, because you got to work Friday, man. You got to go to your 9-to-5, so you can't work that indie that's 200 miles away and starts at 6 p.m. on a Friday. But sometimes, bro, that's what makes us successful, too. Like when I went through the yo-yo effect with WCW, where Kevin Sullivan brought me in, then he was fired, and then subsequently I was let go as well. And that really sucked, man, and it made me a little sour on this business because I quit a good job. I was working as a purchasing manager for Court Furniture out here in California. I had an easy job. I wasn't busting my ass. Working from a desk, man. Had benefits, brother. Making good money. Management liked me. I was going up. I was going places. But it actually led to a successful wrestling event in my life. And that was the Urban Wrestling Company. They only ran for 8 months. But when they approached me, I had already been let down by WCW and crawled back to my job as a purchasing manager. So when the people from Urban contacted me, they offered me some low amount. I counteroffered. It was more than double what they wanted to pay per week. And I put a minimum amount in the contract because I figured out that what I would make as a purchasing manager in a year. And I went ahead and put that minimum amount in the contract just in case they closed down early. So it led to something really successful. I was able to go ahead and still do wrestling and pursue my wrestling career, but I got paid, brother. I was in a good spot with that company. So you never know, man. Sometimes putting something else first helps you in the end. I want to talk about one more thing before I let you go on part two of Modest Joint. I want to talk to you about how I spent Christmas, man. I watched everything on YouTube about that movie, The Wrestler, and the interviews with Mickey Rourke. And at one point, he starts talking about, one of the trailers says, he says, "I'm just a beat up old piece of meat. I don't deserve to be loved by anybody. I just don't want you to be mad at me." And man, that made me tear up. And also when he was talking about being estranged from his daughter on one of the trailers, made me tear up, man. You see, I spent Christmas by myself, Michael Modest. And I had hoped to spend it with my kids. I'm going through a divorce right now, and I tried to call my ex-wife and get my kids, and she had arranged with my mom to send them up to her house for 2 weeks, and that was kind of cool. I know they had fun up there with my mom, but for one reason or another, I wasn't contacted, and I didn't get to spend Christmas with my kids. So I was feeling pretty down. It was a little, it was kind of tough. It was a tough Christmas for Mike Modest. And, but I've been, you know, I changed the way, a long time ago, I changed the way I look at it when I'm down, man, when I'm in a rough spot. We're selfish creatures, human beings. We want things to go good for us all the time. From the time we're born, we're crying and screaming, me, 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 take care of me. It's our nature. But things don't always go well. I've been working as a carpenter, man, and I did put my job first. And my company loves me. They gave me a good Christmas bonus this year, but I have been laid off, and still am. And I started thinking on Christmas, man, when I was by myself. I thought, what do I got to be thankful for? And I started thinking real hard, man. Sometimes it's difficult to see the blessings you got. And you got to dig through a lot of gunk and a lot of grime to get down to the bare bone blessings that you have to be thankful for, like a roof over your head or a meal in your belly. And I started thinking about my friends, man, friends past and present, alive and deceased. And man, I'm thankful for all my friends. And I got a friend, Mike Wallace, out in Indiana. He used to run a indie promotion called New Breed Wrestling. I get this package. Now, he knows I've been working as a carpenter. And things have been tough. Don't have a lot of cash. He sends me this big box filled with presents for my kids. And I thought, wow, I got a lot to be thankful for. Good friends. And I started thinking what else I got to be thankful for. And I thought, wow, I get to spend Christmas with myself, Mike Cariglio. He's a pretty cool guy. And I love him. So I got the 4-disc set of Rambo, man. I popped in the first DVD, First Blood. Awesome movie. Turned the stereo surround sound up, man. And none of this stuff belongs to me. I'm only enjoying it because of my friend Frank Murdoch and his wife, Michelle. They were spending Christmas with some family, and I was just feeling kind of down. Didn't want to be without my kids. But instead, man, I had a great Christmas by myself. Popped some popcorn, drank some Diet Coke, towards the end of the night after I watched all four of those damn good movies. Popped open a bottle of Zin, poured a glass, toasted myself, and I said, here's to you, brother. I love you, man. It was a good Christmas. I did a lot of talking to my buddy Crash Holly during Christmas, too. Talked to him a lot, because he can hear everything I say, and I can feel his answers in my heart. And he was telling me, ah, fuck it, brother. Have a drink of wine. Watch some good movies. Curl up in bed and get warm. And be thankful. Got a bed to get into. Hey, when life gives me shit, man, Mike Modest makes shit-onade. And with those words of wisdom, I'm going to let y'all go. And I'm going to say peace to y'all. Hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Wrestling is hardcore. Peace.